This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I just want to acknowledge the fact that you're a real pro at this.
Like, Am I?
You just relish in all the little embellishments that go along with producing a really high-quality podcast. And I just want to honor that.
Thank you.
I just want to honor that.
I appreciate that, man.
What you doing tonight, man?
Man, you know, I'm hanging with you. It's been a fun day. We actually put out all the promotional stuff about the Pokemon Go podcast being acquired and getting that news out there and sharing that was really great. And
that's exciting time, man, for you and Podastery and just, I don't know, a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, that was it's a cool thing, man. The great thing about podcasting as an industry is that it's still kind of in the early stages, even 10 years later. And so there's a lot of wild, wild west nature to it, which is probably the reason why you and I are able to get on mic and broadcast and talk about what we talk about.
I know, right? Yeah.
If we're being honest. So it's,
just wait till the government gets its paws on us.
It is what it is, but here we are and having a good one, man. I tell you what, man, we got a lot of stuff that's going on right now in the pipe world. And then,
very eventful.
Very specifically in our world, too, man.
Yeah.
All right. So, coming up next week, if I'm doing my math right, specifically Thursday, August the 11th, is the third annual Grand Rapids Country Squire Radio Meetup.
Man, 3 years in a row?
3 years in a row, my friend.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Beardcore is going to be there.
It's just amazing. Like, we have this awesome pocket of community in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and every year, like, we've been able to put this together. I say you have been able to put this together.
No, let's be honest. Beardcore has been
the
awesome.
The Beardcore has been the one, right. Where are y'all going?
So this particular time, you know, last time we did it at a bar, which was fun, but then we all had to, like, shuffle off in a corner in order to smoke our pipes. So we're actually going to be doing it at India River Tobacco Traders. Again, that's going to be 7 p.m. At August Thursday the 11th. Now, if I'm understanding correctly, that's after their hours. So when you come to the door, either mention Beardcore, mention my name, just mention Country Squire Radio, they'll let you in.
Is that like the code word? You have to be like, Bo York.
It's something like that. I wouldn't whisper it, but it is something like
if
that.
If they did, just be sure you wink when you whisper Bo York.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Bo York.
That they will send you
with
away.
A wink. Yeah.
They will send you away if you do that. So you definitely don't.
Do you know what else August 11th is?
No. What else is August 11th?
August 11th of 2016 will be the Country Squire's 46th birthday.
Dude!
Isn't that awesome, man?
46th birthday.
46 years.
What a great achievement.
B, big milestone.
What an uneventful year, though. I mean, 46.
No, I know. 40, what do you do? You know, last year was 45, and we had, like, you know, this big hurrah and lots of festivities and, you know, a commemorative pipe made and all these things, but it's like, it's 46. I mean,
awesome.
What do you do with that? You know, I don't know, but man, it's great. We're really excited. A lot of cool stuff going on around here. We'll be having some promotional stuff roll out in the next week. So if you are on the Country Squire email list, you will be receiving something, just kind of talking more about that by the end of the week. But if you're not, you can go to thecountrysquireonline.com and sign up for our email list and just get more information about, you know, kind of the shop, what we got going on.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, anyway, kind of cool, man.
All right,
yeah.
So August the 11th. Is the date. The
is
official
the date.
Date.
That's right. That's the official birthday.
So here, if you're down in the southeastern area, come to the Country Squire to celebrate the birthday. If you're up in the Midwest, come to Grand Rapids to Indy River Tobacco Traders. Again, that's 7 o'clock, and we'll be celebrating together in spirit from two corners of the country.
Right.
Awesome.
Man, that's exciting. Yeah.
Also, all right, now this is great. Now this is some other fun stuff that's going on. That Monday. After that, so not next Monday, but the next Monday.
It's August 15th.
We're doing something a little different.
Yeah.
This is kind of fun. Now, you know, we, from time to time, we like to enjoy tobacco, our pipe tobacco.
We do.
You're actively enjoying it now. We also enjoy a little bit of the brown liquid.
You know, we enjoy some brown water occasionally, and we're not talking about the Jackson water. We're talking, of course, about whiskey and nice scotches and things of such nature.
This is true. So as longtime listeners and even moderately short-term listeners know, we do occasionally do episodes called Squire Select. Now, I remember the first time that we ever did a Squire Select.
We
put out some social promotion that we were doing this. It was one of our earliest episodes that we ever did live broadcasting on the YouTube channel. The precursor to what this YouTube channel was. It was back when it was on kind of the old Podastery catch-all. But I remember we posted out those information on the social media, and a lot of people saw it, and they were like, "Oh, like how do I get in? How do I go to this thing?"
Right.
They thought that it was, you know, an actual like physical thing they were going to be able to
join in on.
Come in and get a little bit of a scotch or whiskey and pair it up with tobacco. Well, that, of course, was not the case then, because it was just a special episode of Country Squire that Country Squire Radio that became a regular series. Well, you know what? We're doing a little bit of a throwback and giving the people what they wanted 3 years ago. And we are actually going to do a Squire Select live in shop. And we are going to open the doors. It's $10 a head.
It's exciting.
But you get some scotch.
Yeah.
You get some or whiskey. We haven't quite
decided. We haven't nailed it down.
Yeah. But one way or the other, you get some brown water. You get a chance to pair that up with the tobacco pairing. So it won't just be me and John David here. If you're able to come out to the Country Squire on Monday the 15th, that's Monday, August 15th, you're going to want to be here at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
As we will broadcast live at 6:30. So you want to get here early, get your seat, have 10 bucks ready with you, and get a little bit of some whiskey and a little bit of tobacco, and I think it'll be
It's exciting.
It'll
be
a fun time. You'll be able to actually sit in live.
And smoke the actual pairing with us.
Exactly.
Yeah, which will be kind of fun.
I'm really I'm curious to see how this goes. To some extent, this is a trial to see what it's like. Yeah. You know, I mentioned off mic all the time how when recording, I like to reduce the amount of variables, and we're not going to do that this episode. We're just going to welcome all of the variables.
Wide open, baby. Yeah, I can't wait to see what prescriptions you have on you that night to take care of your anxiety.
Yeah, I'll be drinking that whiskey. That's what I'll be doing.
You have plenty of nerve pills.
So absolutely. If you want to come by the Country Squire sometime next week next week to sign your name up, go ahead and put in your $10.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get kind of a head count early in just to make sure we have enough chairs. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. And we hope that many of you will be able to join us, those of you in the southeastern area. If it goes well, who knows? We might make it a regular thing.
Yeah, we might.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Depending on certain people that we think might show up. If they're on good behavior.
Like,
we might just have to ban people outright. I don't know. Is that bad? Like, we just already know kind of who we have to ban even before?
You know, that's an online thing, right? I mean, most forums have some sort of like ban hammer or something of that nature.
Ban hammer. That's fantastic. Hey, one other thing going on that I'll mention for August, and we just released this last week, but our friend Max Stokeby, that name might sound familiar to you. Max, of course, of the Peter Stokeby family, his dad's Eric, a good friend of the show, and we've talked a lot about Four Generation Tobaccos before, but Max is one of the staff members for Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group United States.
Absolutely.
And so he is actually going to come to the Country Squire on August 20th. It's
okay.
A Saturday.
Yeah.
And he's going to do a blending class here at the shop. And so, man, so excited. He's going to bring all kinds of component tobaccos that we'll have available for, pickup. And we'll kind of learn about each one, and then everyone will make their own blend. And what's cool is at the end of it, we'll actually take the time to sample each other's blends and then vote on a winner, which will win a $50 gift certificate to the Country Squire. Kind of cool.
Man.
But, pretty exciting, man.
That's awesome. You know, Max is a great guy. We had a chance to actually meet him at their headquarters last year, which was really, really awesome. He's someone that I think we've both kind of said many times we want to get on mic. So hopefully while we actually have him in town, we can actually get him on mic and talk a little bit about, you know, his personal journey, his family's history, the legacy that, just the legacy when you're born into the Stokeby name, you know, you can imagine the pressure that might be there.
All the stuff that comes with that.
Yeah.
And that's right. What a tradition, but like, yeah, no pressure.
But no, and that's the thing. He's such a cool guy. It's one of these things where the Max Stokeby is to some extent a brand unto itself. Very much could be. And so, really excited to have him in town, and hopefully we'll get him on mic. We got a great topic tonight that we're going to talk about. But first, I want to talk about a new sponsor for this program.
Yeah, man, it's exciting.
Okay, you like pipe tobacco.
Yes.
You love pipe tobacco.
You love that.
I mean, come on. We all do. That's why we're here. But there's other things that we love as well, like enjoying certain beverages
with our
pipe tobacco. We have already talked a little bit about the brown water, but what about the hot brown water?
The hot brown water. You're talking about coffee.
I'm talking about coffee.
Yeah.
Now, here's the great thing. If you smoke your pipe, chances are you enjoy a cup of coffee from time to time as you're smoking your pipe. And if you've got the palate that's anything like John David's, you like to pick out all of these little nuances and flavors.
So sophisticated.
Well, look, the good folks over at Bean Fruit Coffee,
yeah,
they are coffee nerds in a way that could, like, if you think about what John David is to tobacco, the folks over at Bean Fruit Coffee, they are to coffee. Like, they're so meticulous. Paul Bonds, who's the bean roaster there, is a good guy. He actually, you know, I've talked to him before, and the way that he romanticizes kind of the roasting of the beans and the different flavors and textures and everything that goes into every single batch of his coffee is fantastic. So you need to go to beanfruit.com. You need to enter in the code CSR, because not only are you helping support the show when you do that, you also get yourself a 5% discount on this amazing coffee. I'm happy to say that in a future episode, we will actually be drinking some of that on set.
So that's going to be nice.
That'll be real nice. But yep, check it out, beanfruit.com for Bean Fruit Coffee. And you enter in the code CSR for 5% off at checkout. All right, man. Tonight.
Awesome. Yeah.
We have talked about Meerschaum. We've talked about Corn Cob. We've talked about Morto. We've talked about Briar. But when it comes to the composition, the actual various things that people like to carve up to smoke tobacco out of.
That's right.
There is one.
Various and sundry.
Various and sundry. There's one. There's actually a couple that we haven't addressed yet, but one that I've really wanted to probably ever since New Orleans last year, when the winner of the pipe carving contest was actually an olive wood pipe.
That's right.
And to me, that was my first real kind of acknowledgement of, olive wood.
That's a thing.
It's like a light goes off in your head or something like that.
Yeah.
So we're talking olive wood pipes tonight.
We are, man. And we thought it would just be fun to kind of, you know, explore this a little bit. It's one of those materials that I wouldn't say is overlooked necessarily, but it's just, you know, it's not nearly as common as a briar or even a, you know, meerschaum pipe or certainly a corn cob pipe. And but it's a popular medium now for these really sophisticated pipe carvers that are always trying to push the envelope. One thing about pipe smokers, and we both know this so well because it affects us every time you and I get interested in either purchasing a pipe or trying a tobacco that we've never tried before.
Right.
But one thing about pipe smokers, we're always looking for the next new twist. You know, we're always looking for like the next thing. And you know, through the years, you've seen pipes that were carved out of things like pecan or maple or pear, cherry, you know, different pipes. But a really high quality wood that tends to be a little hard to get, and then also has the wonderful property of smoking relatively cool, is olive. And so a lot of these carvers were like, okay, well, what can I do to kind of set myself apart and, you know, experiment with something new and fresh that maybe someone would like to add to their collection? And so this movement within olive started to come forward, and now you've got just a really awesome movement of olive pipes.
I'm curious. I mean, like, you know, you do see this happening from a lot of different pipe carvers. Is this more of a recent trend then? And if so, who really kicked it off?
You know, I don't know who kicked it off, but yeah, this is more of a recent thing.
Huh.
Yeah. Over the past, you know, probably 10 years, you've seen more and more people, stick their toe in the water with olive pipes. And, so, you know, I think it started out kind of around the fringes. You had a lot of folks that would take olive and use it for accents on pipes. Matter of fact, I've got a real lovely pipe that has an olive band on the shank, and it's kind of cool. It actually came with a certificate. The band is from Jerusalem, or I'm sorry, it's from Bethlehem.
Okay, yeah,
which is cool. So you know, this olive wood from the birthplace of Jesus, and so that's kind of special if that happens to be your thing or whatever. But so the olive kind of started creeping in almost a decorative form, and then I think the carvers got more and more ambitious with it, and were like, we're going to make pipes out of this stuff,
man.
And so, it's a fun material. It smokes great, but it's different. Yeah.
No, it's, and it is one of these things that when you see an olive pipe, it's light. It's obviously going to be much, much lighter than a traditional briar pipe.
That's right.
And actually right now you're holding one in your hand
that
I have to make mention of because, you know, again, kind of pulling back to New Orleans, I was given a pipe that was a mortar pipe.
That's right.
The first mortar pipes I've ever owned. And the style was so unique, I dubbed it the Rhino.
The Rhino.
It was a rocks pipe.
Right.
And I was like, this is so unique. This is a Rhino. It's this mortar and a metal shank.
That's right.
And it looks so cool. And you've got yourself what I'm going to call a white Rhino.
A white. That's so lame.
Because it's olive wood and the same exact style.
It's otherwise. Also a rocks pipe. Yeah, that's right. So pipe, our buddy Two Combs of rocks pipes here in central Mississippi, he has this he calls it a simple series pipes, and he's got a steel shank on a just a really, you know, simple turned bowl with a just a nice acrylic stem on there. But yeah, man, it's just a beautiful piece
it
of
is
olive.
A beautiful pipe.
Yeah, just a really pretty olive pipe. And so super simple. It's kind of a poker shape. And for those of y'all that aren't watching and are listening and you're not really familiar with olive, of course we're familiar with briar. You know, we're pipe smokers. We all know what briar looks like. And you know, if it's a smooth piece of briar, you're used to you know, kind of a brownish wood. And you know, it'll typically, you know, be stained with something that makes it, you know, a little darker. And the grain on briar tends to focus on either straight grain or bird's eye grain. You know, that's kind of the two. You've got flame grain and cross grain. But typically the grains are kind of running parallel, or you're getting the end of the grain, which is kind of this bird's eye, you know, look to it. So olive is unique in that it's got kind of this creamy, yellowish brown hue. Typically, you know, it's going to be kind of that yellow, sometimes even a golden color. It's really, really interesting. But you've got these black streaks that will kind of flow through the grain. And it's almost like a curvy, wavy texture to the grain. It's not nearly as tight grain as a briar pipe. It's a lot more wavy and kind of free flowing and curly. It's really nice. But, olive is an interesting medium. You can see, of course, in this simple series pipe from Two, you know, it's just got a real kind of clean look. You know, I've got a pipe over here. One of our favorite, premium pipe carvers that we feature a lot here at the Squire is Davorin Dinovic,
who, right.
Of course, is from Croatia and just an incredible artist. He works a lot with mortar, does olive stuff, and then also uses Adriatic briar, which is kind of an interesting briar that doesn't get a lot of love from other pipe carvers, but Dinovic is really into Adriatic briar. But anyway, he does a lot of stuff with olive too, and you know, takes these magnificent pieces. Typically all his pipes are, you know, as big as a golf club.
Oh, they're weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like I need a permit to carry them.
You kill
him,
you know? Man with that, right?
Yeah.
There.
I mean, it's a big pipe. They always are. But yeah, Davorin's pipes are, just very, very large. He always picks, really big chunks of wood and therefore in a piece of wood that's a little more expensive, like olive or mortar as well, that he does a lot in, you know, it's gonna be a more pricey pipe. And so, like, I think this one I've got here is $300.
Yeah.
And it's a real simple pipe. It's just a really handsome kind of you know, deep bent pipe with almost a nice little ridge flare on there.
You know, I saw that one over to your right, and when you were going for it, and I thought,
yeah.
You know, I immediately recognized the style as being one of Davorin's.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's, I know the mortar version of that pipe as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the correlation there? Do you think it's just mostly pipe carvers who kind of want to find something a little bit different or are going to be more exploratory in terms of things beyond briar? Or?
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, with him, his deal for the most part is making gigantic pipes. Like, he loves
right.
to make large pipes, you know, that can serve as, you know, doorstops or boat anchors or anything else like that.
Or a boat.
Or an actual boat,
and,
right. Yeah, so, you know, he has a take on that, you know, every medium he really works with is gonna be a big chunk of wood. To get a piece of wood that large to make a pipe out of, it's got to be really high quality grain. And so, because if you're dealing with that big of a piece of wood to make a pipe, you're gonna pay more for something that's that pristine, you know. So if it's that large, so. Anyway, and a lot of the ones that he does, it's real typical of this with the olive, you know, it's just got kind of a nice, honey golden color to it. The, you know, grain is real wavy, you know, and just has different patterns than what we expect from Briar. So sometimes you'll have tighter grain on the olive, like this one does have kind of tighter grain than sometimes we're used to. But a lot of times it's just really, really wispy, you know, kind of grain there.
Interesting.
So, yeah. One thing that olive is known for, of course, there's tons of people that prefer sandblasted pipes, sandblasted and rusticated pipes. I haven't really seen any rusticated olive pipes. Most people that do olive do a smooth pipe. But occasionally you will see someone sandblast a pipe.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, kind of a natural texture to it, right?
That's right. It's interesting. Like it's a very unique, the texture is almost like a pumice stone or something. It's just really hard to explain, like almost like a kind of the outside of a rough sponge. But when olive is sandblasted, it just has this really fascinating texture to it. The waves come out similar to, you know, a briar pipe that has good ring grain on it, but it's just different. It's hard to explain. It's much more subtle, I think, in the sandblasting with the olive. And so tonight here, I've got this beautiful olive pipe.
Danny Vasquez
made this pipe. Yeah,
man, Bert, I'm getting good.
You're getting good, man. Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, Danny with Bird and Bear Pipes. You have to check out his website. But beautiful olive pipe. He actually blasted this pipe, and you don't see that a lot. Just don't see a lot of olive pipes that have been blasted. But it's got a real pretty. I think that's a zebra wood accent. And a beautiful green Cumberland stem, Japanese Cumberland stem on there. So just real elegant, but you know, something different. I think, like we discussed, the olive is just an opportunity for carvers to kind of show out and, you know, experiment with different colors and different textures and you know, just provide folks an opportunity to you know, try something that they might not have currently in their collection.
Where does most olive wood come from?
Yeah. Again, like, it overlaps a lot with briar, right? So you've got, you know, think of like Southern and Eastern Europe, and then also, the Northern parts of Africa there. So, and, you know, if you think about it, that makes sense. Like when we think of olives, you know, coming from places like Greece. And so there's going to be, you know, olive
Italians, right?
And Italy, you know, places, again, Southern and Eastern Europe. And so,
didn't Vito Corleone, wasn't his like front in The Godfather 2 was like a olive oil plant or like something or another?
I actually can't remember. I don't know.
It's been a long time, but maybe, I think that's right.
Maybe it's to get in the olive oil. Let's get in the olive oil business. I'm going to call that over here and then I'm going to take care of your family. And if they don't take care of your family, I'm going to take care of their family.
Vito.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, olive again, you know, it's in the same part of the world as briar. And so a lot of these folks are, you know, are already kind of used to being around it just naturally. But what's fascinating, of course, you know, briar, we think of the heath tree. Briar is harvested from the heath tree, right? And so this is a wood that doesn't really have other uses other than just growing for beauty or, you know, gardening or whatever. But, you know, it just grows and they harvest it and use the wood. But if you think about olive is different because the main use for the olive tree is the fruit that comes off of it, right? So you're not really as, you know, the wood coming from olive is secondary.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, typically, you know, the olive that's harvested for things like pipe making, not just pipe making, but any kind of use of olive as a, you know, as a wood, you know, a medium to carve or, you know, construct with, that's a secondary thing. And so, you know, typically it's, if you're going to cut down a tree that can produce fruit every year, you're cutting down a future revenue stream, right? And
yeah,
so
wow,
typically
yeah.
when, if you're thinking about it along those lines, like the olive wood will be more expensive, you know, it's like, why, you know, it's kind of like killing the cow to have the beef
right.
when you could get milk every single year, you
right.
know what I mean? So, kind of an interesting, I don't know, thing to think about. There's almost this opportunity cost of like, okay, well, if we cut the olive tree down to get the wood, we better get a good price for it because we're giving up the fruit that would have come with it, you know?
I guess you'd have to time it right, right? Because you don't want the tree to die because I would imagine the wood would be no good. I mean, like, you definitely wouldn't want rotten wood to carve out a pipe. But at the same time, you want to make sure you got as much out of that tree before, you know, before you did go ahead and pull it out of the ground and start chopping away at it.
Yeah. And, I'm not as familiar with like the agricultural part of it, you know, kind of their processes and all that, how they decide kind of when to harvest and that type of thing. But I do know that, a lot of the olive that comes from these trees that are used to make pipes, a lot of it is actually just, parts of the tree that were cut off from pruning. Because the tree is so, you know, valuable just by nature of the fruit that it produces.
Interesting.
You know, so a lot of the olive, you know, that is used for constructing stuff, pipes included, is going to be, you know, pieces of the tree that were actually removed for, let's say a branch need to be removed for this and that. More of a pruning kind of thing.
Well, so that's interesting, because so then that means that olive wood can be branch wood, because when I think about briar, of course, I think about a root. I think of something, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Kind of dug up from the ground.
That's right. Yeah. And we're not talking about a root really with olive. We're just talking about, any piece of the tree itself.
Nice.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
Awesome. Well, all right. So is there any treatment that has to go in to make sure that it doesn't, you know, catch on fire?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is olive is notorious about being really wet, of course, when you harvest it. And you think of, this is olive. And so there's something we use all the time called olive oil. And what's amazing, when you carve fresh olive wood, you get tons of just olive oil shrapnel kind of all over the place. And so I hear these incredible stories about folks turning olive on a lathe, and their whole shop just smells like just an incredible, you know, like a restaurant or something.
Like an Italian kitchen.
Exactly.
On, now we're going to cut up the olive wood to make a pipe, and then we're going to put some of our bread and
I want to eat spaghetti all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't know.
I apologize to all of our Italian listeners.
But, you know, it's one of those things, you kind of, you get the experience of the olive oil through the wood. And
right.
So, and even some folks that aren't, you know, that are sensitive to such things, they've actually had cases of being, have allergic reactions once you carve these pipes. You know, if olive oil is something that you're sensitive to for whatever reason, that can affect you. It's kind of a fascinating thing. And even, on very rare instances, folks that smoke these pipes will have some kind of reaction. Although by and large, in the great, great vast majority, that's just not an issue for folks.
So let's talk about this. I mean, when choosing what type of pipe you're going to smoke from, I mean, the question that a lot of people have is like, how does a, an olive wood pipe, how's that going to differentiate? How's it going to smoke different from what would be traditionally briar?
And I think that's the main point, right? So like we carve out of olive pipes, not just because they look different and are beautiful, but also because they're going to smoke a little different too. And so, my personal experience with olive is that the first 10 bowls smoke sweet. The bowls smoke kind of sweet. I don't know. It's a wood that has a tang to it that just other, briar pipes just do not have. And I think there's something valuable there that really adds to the experience. My own personal experience though, is that, you know, once you get past kind of that threshold, it just smokes like a pipe. You know, I don't know. I think once you get to a certain point, it just kind of smokes like a regular pipe. But there is something magical about those first several bowls that you put through an olive pipe. It kind of has this tangy sweetness to it. It's not a sugary sweet. It's kind of a more of a tangy bitterness. It's really pleasant though. Very pleasant. And it's something that pairs well with some tobaccos and doesn't pair well with others. You know, I've smoked English blends and olive pipes that, of course, I don't smoke a ton of English blends. We've established that on multiple occasions, but they didn't go necessarily well with the olive, whereas, you know, some aromatics and just real clean Virginia blends would.
That's so really interesting.
Yeah, just really fascinating, you know, that because olive has so much taste and flavor and natural moisture on its own just from the oil, it's very common to see these carvers age olive years and years and years before they carve a pipe out of it. So Davern, for instance, all of his olive that he carves pipes out of have been aged at a minimum of 15 years before he even touches, before he even thinks about carving a pipe out of it. So it just gives it time to dry and kind of, just get to a place where the wood is more stable so it can handle the, you know, the carving process.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So put away your olive wood now, and 15 years later, you get a buyer.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It definitely, you know, because it is less common and, you know, tends to be a little more expensive because of the, you know, just the price of, you know, procuring the wood for the carver. You know, it's not something that you're going to build the majority of your pipe collection out of, but, it's a nice change up. You know, certainly two of my favorite pipes are these olive wood pipes. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I turn to pretty regularly just for kind of a nice mix, you know, they smoke, you know, other than the initial sweetness, the experience is very similar to a briar. And I appreciate that because there's kind of a comfort level you can go to there, but, it's always just different enough. And also the heat that radiates through the pipe, it tends to be a little warmer, I think, when you touch the pipe itself. But, I don't know. There's something pleasant about how it feels in your hand and looks. It's just, I don't know. It's really nice.
That's good. Yep. You know, actually, Mark VV over on Twitter is suggesting that you actually come up with a blend tailored for the olive
dude, that's
wood
a
pipe
great
experience.
Idea.
And
yeah.
He suggests call it a Mamma Mia. And I got to tell you, that really sounds like a good idea because, you know, you do a lot of weddings, man. You do a lot of weddings where you'll actually have a pipe or cigar bar.
Yeah, that's
and it'd
right.
Be, yep. I mean, you know, you think about...
That's a lot of fun, by the way.
Dude, the olive wood pipe, I mean, that looks like a wedding pipe. You know, to some extent,
yeah, it
like,
does.
There's a specialness to
it. What'd you call it, the white rhino?
Well, no, I called the other one the white rhino.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is the rocks pipe I refer to.
Yeah, that's my bird and bear pipe. Yeah, that bear. Yeah, I love what Danny did with the stem. You know, something... another cool thing about olive, because it looks so dramatically different from briar, I say dramatically different, it does, it really does look different, but, you know, the pairings with different, you know, materials for things like stems and accent bands, they can get away with different things that maybe on briar you wouldn't necessarily try.
That's good, yeah.
And so, you know, with this particular wood, you know, this particular pipe, for those that are listening, you know, you've got just this real kind of dark green Cumberland that just pairs. It's like olive. It's like an olive colored stem, and it pairs, you know, just really well with that blasted wood.
You've been
wood.
Enjoying so, the heck out of that pipe.
Yeah, it's got a few miles on it. Yeah, yeah, it's got a few miles on it. I was, you know, Danny was when he was carving this pipe was, you know, it putting. He sent me some photos. He's like, "What do you think of this?" And I was like, "Man, that's awesome! Like, you should do this and this and this." And like, he was like, "Yeah, it's great." And then as soon as he put it out for sale, I bought it. And I didn't tell him I was going to buy it. I really wanted to. I knew that, you know, he may have some others that wanted to jump on it. And I think I made a lot of people very disappointed when I bought this pipe.
Yeah, at some point I'm going to get a Vasquez pipe because his work is fine.
He's really, really talented, man. But I love the stem on this pipe. There's something, you know, about that's just real, real classy. But anyway, olive wood pipes, you know, one of those things that, you know, your majority of your collection is not going to be made of. But, you know, if you've reached a point where you want to try something new, and different that might, you know, kind of mix it up some and also give you a different experience, I highly recommend branching out.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing is about your collection and making sure you have something for various experiences. Is,
yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got your olive wood pipes, you got your briar wood pipes, you got your mortar pipes. But you know what you also need to be part of your collection?
Dude, the cob.
The cob, man.
Yeah.
Specifically a corn cob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So, you know, we're doing something a little bit differently. Typically, we've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe that sponsors the show.
Yeah.
But we actually talked about it this particular episode. And rather than having a specific pipe that's sponsoring the show, we're going to actually mention two pipes, which we talked about it before and off mic. What is, John David Cole, your favorite Missouri Meerschaum pipe?
My favorite Missouri Meerschaum pipe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, this is my Missouri Meerschaum Cobbett pipe, and it is called the Shire. And I love this pipe because I think if a Bing's favorite could be a corncob pipe, it would be the Shire. There's something that's the stem is just long enough. I don't really consider it a church warden. It's kind of a
it's just shy of a
just
church
shy
warden.
Of a church warden.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just shy of a church warden.
But
they've got it, what they did with this. Our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they put just a real nice kind of acorn shaped bowl in this pipe. So the way it handles is just super comfortable, and it's got a you know, for the size, a pretty generous bowl. It's kind of tall. And I think one of my favorite things about this pipe, other than the length, is the quality that they put on the stem. They spend a lot of of time working on the stem of this pipe. And you know, for a pipe of at this price point, you really are impressed by the amount of effort that was put into this. There's just a ton of quality here. So I love that pipe. It smokes great. It's really light and it's a go-to for me.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's the Country Gentleman. It's a good size bowl.
Yeah.
It was the first Missouri Meerschaum I ever owned, which was actually a gift from a listener who had taken it and made a custom version of it.
Dude, I forgot about that.
I'll be smoking that.
That pipe is gorgeous.
Yes, sir. I'll be smoking that in next week, actually, up in Grand Rapids and as I'm fishing. And so appropriate that it would be one of the two pipes that we talk about here from our good folks, from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Look, if you have not gotten yourself a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, I tell you what, don't just get one, get a couple of them. They're great priced corncob pipes at excellent quality. You talk about pushing the envelope. The folks at Missouri Meerschaum, they're always pushing the envelope and finding new and creative ways to bring the corncob pipe into existence. And you got to check them out, guys. So check it out, Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for sponsoring this show, and we thank you guys for supporting them.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week.
Yeah, man.
This comes in from Jonathan Walston. Hope I'm pronouncing that last name right, but you know, it's kind of my thing. we butcher names here.
We don't have a very good track record on that.
No. We talk about
you know,
pipes
down in
and
the
pipe
South. Like everyone's name is like you know York or you know Smith or Johnson or you know just something simple. But like the other parts of the country, man, that. Folks have more interesting names than we do.
Dude, funny tangent.
We don't know what to do with that.
Funny tangent. I interviewed last night. We interviewed the voice actor that portrays Gorilla Grodd from the CW's Flash
for
Flash TV Talk. That episode's coming out this week, I hope. But after he was cool dude. He's got this big like voice, you know, like if you're going to have a, it's really, really deep and everything. But anyway, afterwards, it's so cool. So nice. Afterwards, he said, yeah, you've mispronounced my name the entire time.
Ooh.
No, and he was very kind about it. Like, but he corrected me.
It's
and I was
so painful.
I'll try to fix that in post.
And you just want to get it right.
I know. I felt so embarrassed. But Jonathan W., that's the best way to get it right there. That's why we say Mark VV.
That's right.
Sorry,
that's
Mark. Right. Jonathan, he writes in, he says, hey, so I have a Meerschaum estate pipe that needs some TLC. I was wondering the best ways to clean it. It also needs some repair done or a replacement stem. Any suggestions would be appreciated. Keep up the good work, Jonathan.
Man, I have trouble when helping people figure out the best way to care for their Meerschaum pipe if it needs repair work, restoration, you know, any kind of cleaning or things like that. Meerschaum is just different, y'all. I mean, it acts differently. It You know, it handles differently. It's just fragile. And you ought to, you know, we haven't interacted with them in a while, but you ought to get a hold of our friend Reborn.
Man.
And maybe, you know, Reborn Pipes, at Reborn Pipes on Twitter, he'd be a really good resource for you. There's several pipe repair folks, folks like Tim West and Floyd Norwood and, you know, folks that work often with Meerschaum that could maybe give you some pointers. But Meerschaum, you got to be careful. To keep in mind the outside of the bowl, you know, if there's been any coloring or any kind of you know, marks or anything on the outside of the bowl, you're just going to have to assume that that's there for good. You know, that's not something that you're going to just put on a buffing wheel and buff out. And typically, you don't want to.
Right.
Typically, Meerschaum is colored, and that's the kind of the point of having a Meerschaum pipe is, or one of the points is that it's a, you know, porous material and takes on oil from your hands and the tobacco and, you know, all these things. So it can be beautiful, but a lot of times people will, you know, if a Meerschaum is scuffed or, you know, something like that, they just really want to get it, perfect again. And really the outside of a Meerschaum, you're just gonna have to be satisfied with kind of where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
The inside of a Meerschaum, you can do a few things. You know, what I've always done is, very carefully, use some type of cleaning fluid. So a lot of times, you know, I'll go next door to the liquor store, get a like I always talk about, a big bottle of Everclear. That's what I clean a lot of pipes with here at the shop. And so you can kind of start to work some of the cake out with that. You know, and if you do reaming, you can do that, but you just need to be very, very gentle. A lot of times too, on the rim of the bowl, you can just take some really hot water and wet like a terry cloth.
Yeah,
and wring the terry cloth out and then just kind of take that and hold it on the top of the Meerschaum, for a period of time. And a lot of times that will allow you to, you know, once that soaks in a little bit, it will allow you to get some of the char, the carbon off the rim of the bowl, which is nice. But you can get some of the carbon off, the bowl with the buffing wheel, but you got to be careful. You just really do.
Is it okay to leave it like, I kind of love, and I mean, obviously, having never seen Jonathan's pipe, it's hard to know exactly what his situation is.
Yeah, but, sure.
You know, for me, I love kind of the idea, like the visualization of kind of like a white, kind of almost like a pure white Missouri, or not Missouri Meerschaum, but Meerschaum pipe.
Right.
That is, as you get closer to the bowl, gets darker and darker and darker, and then it's just that char black.
Just a charred rim.
Yeah, like, it's is really, it okay just really to kind beautiful. Of leave it like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And honestly, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
You know? You know, see those pipes almost the most coveted of all them are the ones that just have that real nice black ring around the top, and then kind of work them their way down from that charred color to kind of an amber and then whiter towards the bottom. So, and that's what you want. That's what you expect from a Meerschaum. But, you know, but the inside of the bowl, you know, loosen it maybe with, you know, some pipe cleaning solution or some type of alcohol, you know, scrub it real good with the pipe cleaner and ream it. But you just got to be careful and go slow, go very, very slowly, when you're doing that and use a lot of pipe cleaners to, you know, get out the residue. Don't expect too much of it. You know, don't try to push it too hard. Meerschaum is fragile. You know, that's the thing. If you smoke Meerschaum, you know, regularly and you start with a new fresh Meerschaum pipe, a lot of times you don't really build cake. You know, Meerschaum is something you don't really build cake in. You can just kind of smoke it, swab the ashes out, and then, load it up with something totally different and smoke it again. You know, it's just real versatile as far as the, you know, smoking abilities of it. But if you don't do that, if you allow the pipe to build cake, then you're going to bump into this problem. And, of course, you know, be real tender with it while you're fixing it up. Anyway, take your time. You know, if you do any reaming or anything like that, just be careful and, use a bunch of pipe cleaners, swab it out real good and see where that gets you.
That's good, man. Great question, Jonathan. Thanks for sending that in. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Also, as an aside along with that, but, you know, if it does need some repair work, like the pieces that go in a Meerschaum pipe are very unique. And so a lot of times these, you know, folks that repair Meerschaum pipes, you know, even if it's just a small little screw or a tenon or an extension or something that you've got to put on this pipe to repair it, you know, it could cost you know, $30, $40, $50 just for a very small piece to be installed on this thing. And, you know, so keep that in mind just as you're looking at, you know, if it's something that you do need a replacement stem for and, you know, are going to send that off to get done. You know, just don't be surprised. Prepare yourself for a little sticker shock because the, Meerschaum repair can just be a little more expensive.
Quick fire with the Squire.
You know, I was just thinking, NPR, I think, recently canceled Car Talk.
Did they really?
Yeah, you know.
Did they do that, or did those guys, like, retire?
Maybe that was it. But one way or the other, like,
click and clack, right?
I feel like we're kind of the Car Talk of the pipe world. You know, like, whenever we get to the pipe questions, it kind of feels a little bit like, because it's like, you know, I bet there are people that tune in that probably don't even, like, smoke pipes all that often.
But they tune in for this part.
You know, kind of, and it's just like, and they're just kind of like, you know, my wife listened to Car Talk.
Because they had that puzzler thing, right? Where they'd throw out this crazy thing, and then it would be some kind of math problem, or like, I don't know, and then the next week, they'd come back with the solution. I don't know.
Well, here's our version of that. Quick fire question! All right, so we got some quick fire questions in. Tyler B. Now, this is Battle Edition.
Okay.
Wow. So this is literally fighting each other.
Okay.
Now there's only three of them, but this should be good.
It's the battle edition.
It's the battle edition.
Right.
All right. Who do you think would win in a fight, Spider-Man or Darth Maul? Do you need me to explain who both of those people are?
No, I know who these people are, but it's just like, wow, has Darth Maul ever been featured in anything that we've done?
No, well.
I don't think so. As much Star Wars, like, stick as we talk about, like, I just don't.
Well, it's prequel area. I mean, like, yeah, you're right, but Darth Maul was cool. Darth Maul was also a double-bladed lightsaber.
I wouldn't go as far as saying he's cool, but but I think he would beat Spider-Man.
Okay, no and no. No, wrong. You wrong.
So you think he is cool, but Spider-Man wins.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Spider-Man wins.
He's just gonna point that little his little webs on him.
Well, Spider-Man can be ranged. He's fast. To be honest, that's a really good fight. It could go either way.
I'm just saying, like, the lightsaber goes a long way against the web.
Unless Spidey webs it, pulls it away from him, and now he doesn't have his lightsaber. Spider-Man wins.
Okay, that you'd have to be quick, and Spider-Man is certainly quick.
Yep,
I'll go with Darth Maul.
All right, fair enough. I'll go with Spidey. The T-1000, the liquid metal guy from Terminator 2, or the Predator. Who wins that fight?
I'm going to go with T-1000. That's a difficult one, but yeah, I think I got to go with T-1000.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I just think he's got more.
In the end, they were only able to defeat the T-1000 through like lava, right? Like he literally had to be put in fire. And I don't think
the Predator is like this is a organic being, right? I mean,
I can't do the Predator.
You could do a lot of impressions well, but
not that one.
Yeah. Don't ever do that again. Yeah. I'm going to go with T-1000.
Absolutely. Yep. As well. All right, and this is it. This is for the main event. Are you ready? The main event!
Uh-huh.
Bo versus John David. He says JD. He said Bo versus JD.
Well, if it's JD, then Bo. But if it's John David, then myself.
I'm curious, when you hear JD, who do you think of? Because, I know you don't think of yourself. Who do you think of when you hear JD?
Probably Jack Daniels.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
See, I think of the character from Scrubs, played by Zach Braff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, I've been going through a Scrubs marathon.
Yeah.
That I even considered doing a podcast based on a drinking game like that I created while watching Scrubs. And so it would be me and another guy getting drunk watching Scrubs. We're not going to do it for what I feel should be obvious reasons, but regardless.
Yeah, I think that's probably wise.
Yeah. All right, so Bo versus John David.
Bo. In most scenarios, I would say Bo, like, in pipe smoking, win.
This is, all right, so if we're talking like a fight, like legitimately, I feel like I could take you except for the fact that you're just so lovable. Like, I wouldn't be able to throw a punch.
You just want
to
hug me.
I just want to hug you. And so it's like, I would never actually get a punch in. So I think you're
probably stronger than me. I'll be honest. Like, I'm probably a little too scrawny of a hipster to pose much of a threat to you.
You got the speed, man. You got the speed.
I can do it. I could be wiry.
I don't know, man. I think on the right day you could easily take me. But I think on most days I could probably take you.
Yeah. We'll just hope we never find out.
What if we did?
Unless you have a cold and, like, you know, have a flu and, like, you know, are limping and, you know, if I find the right opportunity and have the right reason.
So basically, we'll never test that theory because you're worried that you'd lose until, like, I just come in and I've got a limp and then you're like, boom!
Game on, baby.
Shot in the back. Fair enough. Great quick fire questions, Tyler. We appreciate it. Send yours in csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
We got some great listener feedback, and it's really appropriate that listener feedback comes at this stage in the game. That's kind of in the tail end here of the podcast.
That's right.
Where we talk about our final sponsor, which is
thispipelife.com. That's right.
Now, thispipelife.com, wonderful website. And for me personally, what I really enjoy is the forums.
Yeah.
Last week, we mentioned that on thispipelife.com, we'd be going on and posting out some things, trying to gather some quick fire questions from those of you who were signing up for the for thispipelife.com. Actually, as I went in to post that this week, I pulled some of the great commentary and thoughts that we got from an earlier post, specifically dealing with a topic of heated debate between the two of us, which is pipe smoking and barbecue,
right,
and whether or not there is a need for a pairing, or even if a pairing makes sense. And I got to tell you, man,
that there was some feedback.
The folks are very much on my side on this one.
Okay, that's fine.
Your cornbread and milk. Now they're on my side now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we did cornbread and milk, maybe we can make time for, I don't know, baked beans and, you know, Balkan blends
Let's see what the feedback that we got. Again, this is coming from the forums at thispipelife.com. Du Mullen had this to say. He said, I'm a fan of Virginia's in the heat, so his quote-unquote grilling tobacco tends to be PS Luxury Bullseye or something like Dunhill Flake.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You're in the heat. You know, you want something kind of light and grassy, maybe just a natural sweetness to it, and of course those would make sense. Yep.
Who's the next one up?
Always, I find that Latakia blends, especially Syrian Latakias, go hand in hand with hickory smoke. My go-to barbecue pit smoke is MacBaren's Virginia Vintage Syrian. So good.
Hey man, he actually sent a picture. That's from The Wandering Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
On this pipeline.
I'll never forget the first time I opened a Throgmorton 10. This was many years ago. But I smelled the 10 and all I could think of was barbecue ribs.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of was barbecue ribs. Yeah,
work is practically done for you on this one.
No, that's fair.
Why are we not eating ribs right now? Okay, fine. All right, and then finally another one, and we had a lot of discussion there, a lot of great comments, but finally, again, this is from thispipelife.com, and this is from our very own Pappy Joe, who wrote in saying, yes, of course, I actually like to smoke my Missouri Meerschaum Cob, usually something containing Latakia to go with the smokiness of the barbecue. Sometimes if I'm using a gas grill, instead of my charcoal, I will use a briar that I can clench.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these are well thought out practices that people have really just embraced pipe smoking while barbecuing.
While barbecue. Okay. Well, you know, maybe next 4th of July we can think about this.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. Hopefully Pappy Joe is enjoying some barbecue this week, because he also tweeted into us before we went live tonight and wanted to give a shout out, asked if we would, and I think it's appropriate to give a shout out to the U.S. Coast Guard, who is actually turning 226 on August the 4th.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, what was it, 46-year-old anniversary for your shout?
Yeah, dude, got nothing.
You had nothing on
the U.S. Coast Guard. Man, yeah, Pappy Joe, of course, from Louisiana, a really good friend of the show and of the shop. And man, just, you know, very proud of his service in the U.S. Coast Guard and everyone that did that for us to protect our borders. And man, we appreciate all your service and,
absolutely,
and hard work.
And yep, to any other Coast Guard members out there, we salute you as well. And
absolutely.
Thank you for your service. Guys, great feedback. We really appreciate all of that good stuff. By the way, if you haven't registered for thispipelife.com, you absolutely should. Now is a good time to do it. We also want to encourage you to mark on your calendars right now. I'm going to go back over some of those dates and events happening that we mentioned at the top of the show. Of course, August, Thursday, the 11th. Thursday, August the 11th.
There you go.
At 7 p.m. at Indian River Tobacco Traders in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you're in the Midwest and you want to come up for a meetup, I'll be there. Beardcore will be there. We'll be drinking beer. We'll be smoking pipes. It'll be a lot of fun. So we hope if you're in that general area, you might be able to make it out. Again,
that's exciting.
Thursday, August the 11th at 7 p.m. Indian River Tobacco Traders. Mention either me or Beard Court at the door. They'll let you in.
Bo York.
Yeah, but don't whisper it because creepy.
If you whisper it, just wink. Be sure to wink.
And then for those of you here in the hometown or just in the kind of the Southeast who want to make the trip up, that's August 15th. That is going to be Monday, August 15th at 6 p.m. here at the Country Squire for a Squire Select tobacco and whiskey pairing. It's going to be $10 either at the door if you want to come in beforehand, put your $10 in, your name down, then we'll be collecting that. I say we'll be, you'll be collecting that information.
Yeah, yeah.
So that'll be great. So hopefully I'll get a chance to see quite a few of you in the coming days. And yeah. Oh, you know, the one last thing I got to mention as well, I should have mentioned at the top of the show. You know, I said I was in Miami last week.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I almost forgot about it as well because honestly, Miami is way more of a cigar town.
Oh, like, yeah, of course.
It was so hard finding a good, I never even got a chance to really like get dedicated to, oh, this is the pipe shop I'm going to go to.
Man, it is the cigar capital of the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Even the folks in Miami were like, yeah, some of them sell pipe tobacco. Like, you know, so.
Have you tried the Shell Station?
Yeah. So there were a couple listeners who kind of reached out and said, hey, are you going to do a meetup thing? You're going to do it. But I never just, if there's not a good location that really draws me in, then
yeah,
it's hard to really set
hard to make
up
it
like
happen.
That.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But anyway, shout out to the Miami folks. Sorry about that. Next time I'm down there, I'll let you know if though. Hey, but in the meantime, you can keep up with us in a lot of different ways.
That's right.
You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at underscore Country Squire.
And of course, the show's Twitter handle is at Squire Radio, where you can tune in live to the show and tweet in. We've been getting some great listener feedback and commentary throughout the evening, which we always appreciate. You can tune in to the next live show. It happens at 6:30 Central Time. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can find all of the contact information previously mentioned and more. Again, that's CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man.
Dude, fun episode.
Great episode.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I always love talking about different media that, you know, pipe carvers are using. And of course, you know, Olive is one of those things I smoke, you know, very regularly, and I think has been a real addition to the, you know, to the collections of folks that, you know, have just a variety of tastes. So, yeah, get you an Olive pipe. Everyone needs an Olive pipe.
Yeah, man, I gotta get one.
Yeah, I'll sell you that $300 Davern.
Well, actually, I was thinking about the White Rhino.
I know.
But you've already smoked it like crazy.
Yep.
All right.
You have to take that out of my cold, dead hand.
Apparently, I can make that happen.
You might be able to. Yeah, I think so.
All right, man. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.